Hey everyone, this is Isaac Maddox, and I'm the pastor of Activate Church, and this is our podcast. Remember, you can subscribe to our podcast and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram. I hope this message blesses you, encourages you, builds your faith, and I hope you enjoy the message.
Yeah. Kids, little backpacks. Trent was like 4, Jude's like 5, and yeah, just getting on an airplane with 8 suitcases and moving to the island. And man, just building our home there with no car. And every day, we're like, the school system, we have no idea. You got to sign up. You got to go in this school district and grab this bus, and we'll meet after church. It was nuts. It was crazy. But she's incredible. She's awesome. And in our marriage, to be honest with you, I tried to be real with you in the sense that I don't want our marriage to ever seem like it's just the unattainable, untouchable, which I don't think it does, but woo, it's perfect. I come home and Carrie's dancing and it's just in this nice little outfit with grapes, you know, and I'm just like, I come in, you know, and I don't know, we have some whatever. We're in love and it's incredible. And I think our marriage is awesome. Thank you. I think it's incredible. But you don't want something so untouchable and untainable, and then it's like, but you want to be real and authentic, but not so real. And like, you know, if I got up and I was like, man, we're having a rough season right now. I don't know if we're going to make it. So just pray for us. Just trying to keep it real, you know what I'm saying? And they'd be like, that's a little weird. Okay, so I hope you're doing well. But so there's sometimes like this balance. And we have different communication styles. I'm not much of a talker. Carrie's just can't stop talking. And but we kind of have these, you know, you have different communication styles, as you do. And so you discover how to fight fair. And you read books and you use it on each other. Hey, that's what you're doing, not what the book said, babe. That's not my love language, you know. And you just kind of work it out and figure it out. And we've had different debates and fights and things, you know, throughout the years. But one thing we've never thought about is I've never come home and Carrie's just like, we need to talk. Like, okay, our relationship is unbalanced. There's too many cards. There's too many flowers. There's like dead flowers everywhere. It's getting old. You keep doing the dishes. You keep taking care of the kids. You keep kissing me and loving me. And it's just gone too far. Our marriage is unbalanced. Vice versa, I've never, babe, come here, we need to talk. You're praising me too much, you're encouraging me too much, there's too much poetry, you're staring deep into my eyes, there's too much sex, a man has to sleep every once in a while. Please, I need some balance. Trust me, that conversation definitely never happened. It's too much love. It's too much. That you would never have that conversation. It's too much. It's unbalanced, babe. It's too much romance. It's too much love. There's too much kindness. There's too much mercy. There's too much serving. There's too much giving. It's too much. It's unbalanced. But yet, when it comes to the Bible and it comes to church, we often look at it like that. Well, what about this whole love message? I mean, when are we going to preach the truth? You ever thought about that? Like, we're just going to love everybody? I mean, where's the balance? I mean, we're just going to like mercy and grace and love and mercy and grace and love. And to actually be honest and not sarcastic, I actually do think about this. I'm a Bible college student. I love the Bible. I love the Word. I love Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, basic doctrine. And I've taken more survey classes in my life, in and out of different movements and churches. I love principles and truth. I used to read a book a week on strategy and church leadership and how to better your life and how to change and all that kind of stuff. And when you read this verse in Romans, Christ died at our maximum sin point. So if Christ is one of those people that thinks that love enables, I think that verse kind of proves that love does not enable sin. Because if it did, then he's stupid. Because he died when we were at our maximum state of being his enemy. And he loved us and demonstrated love. But yet there's still something within us that like, yeah, but if I just love, if I just unconditionally love my wife, isn't that going to reinforce her bad habits? Isn't that going to say, babe, it's cool. Just keep, you know, what I'm not important. This little thing that we've discussed and communicated is not as important. I'm just going to love you. Isn't that going to enable somebody? You ever thought about that? If I just love and extend grace and forgiveness and it's just all good, isn't that going to like enable them and kind of let them off the hook? And so we kind of have this thing, especially for me growing up in church, called balance. It's a great church word. It's a balanced church. And I think in all honesty, it can be a good thing, I guess, and what point's trying to be made. But in all reality and practicality, it becomes really based upon a person trying to become a teeter-totter, which is a great word, teeter-totter, a teeter-totter. That's what someone becomes. Why? Because we're trying to extend love, but truth. That's right, brother, preach it, the truth. People need to hear the truth, some principles. Don't do that and do that. Don't do that and do that. And even though we know the Old Testament was really kind of beyond the experiment, but it didn't work. Now, it was a revelation of sin, and it had to become, it had to come. It was a part of God. But proving, if you just tell someone to do something, it doesn't change them. But yet, we still do it. And can you imagine? Husbands, just love your wives. Got it. Husbands, just love your wife. Stop being a dork. Stop being insecure. Stop being weird. Stop being selfish. Stop being a weenie. And just love her. Got it. Next week, what happened? I don't understand. I told you. Told you what to do. That would be awesome if we could just write things down and just boom. All right, here you go. That was the Old Testament. Here's what you do. Here's what you don't do. And if you do it, here's the consequence. What happened? It was a revelation of sin, ultimately. And we know this, but yet we still come to a point of like balance, free choice, sovereignty, love, but truth. Mercy, but judgment. Grace, but truth. There's a balance. And what happens with balance is the moment I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you, and I love you. You look good. How was the play? Awesome. She's in the play right now. Steel Magnolia? Yeah? Awesome. Okay, go see it. And I love you. At some point, I go, okay. It's truth time. I'm about to drop some truth bombs. Principle time. Now it's time to... So what happens when truth comes in, as a teeter-totter, I got to kind of pull back the love, right? So it's like, okay, truth now. Truth time. Truth. What happens to love? It kind of goes down a little bit. And we somehow disprove this truth of unconditional love by trying to balance. So we're over here a little bit, 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 and we're trying to balance. When Jesus shows up on the scene, and in a moment, in one moment, he takes care of two things at once. He upholds the law, he upholds righteousness, he upholds truth, and he pardons sin in a moment. Death on the cross takes care of two things at once and says, I am now that new balance. I am both. I am now the way, and the truth, and the life. I don't know grace because of some Bible college definition, the unmerited favor of God. I don't know grace because I read that definition. I know grace because I encountered him. I know mercy because I've encountered Jesus Christ. I know love because I have encountered him. I've encountered Christ. And so when we preach Jesus, we're actually preaching grace. When we preach Jesus, we're actually preaching truth. When we preach Jesus, he became everything. He didn't come to abolish principle. So I'm not saying principles don't matter. He came to fulfill principle. He came to fulfill the point of every principle. So let's not put the power, though, in the principle. We preach Jesus, but we say, hey, you need to pray, you need to get to church. And we put all the power and the faith for somebody in the principle. When he came to fulfill the principle, he needs to be the point of the principle. So preach Jesus. Yeah, but I mean, he came to fully fill up the principle. But if we overpreach Jesus and they don't know, I know grace and I know mercy and I know truth because of him. I cannot take credit for my testimony. I think I have. I think some of us have. People ask us, hey man, how'd you do this and how'd you do that and what happened? You go, well, you know, I just kind of did a few things, you know. It was kind of my top 10 things to do. And there is a point to that, and there is a purpose to that. But the gospel is sort of the undeniable truth that says, hey, none of us are here because we encountered some sort of thing to do and we did it and somehow found salvation, that it has only come through Jesus Christ. And we can't really underemphasize that. We can't really overemphasize it. Well, it's too much love. If it's too much grace. It means if it's too much love, that means it's too much Jesus. Well, we can't preach too much grace. You mean you can't preach too much Jesus? Because when we preach Jesus, we're preaching love. We're preaching truth. We're preaching word. We're preaching grace. We're preaching mercy. We're preaching future. We're preaching hope. We're preaching church. We're preaching marriage. We're preaching mercy. We're preaching grace. We're preaching love. It's all within the way and the truth and the life through Jesus Christ. Jesus took it all within himself and he said, hey, now it's just about me. And it seems simple. But here's Paul saying, I don't know what I should do. And this is a man who had the law memorized. So you would never just give him a scripture, but the bum on the street who says this, we'd say, hey, bro, here's a few things you need to do. Yeah, Jesus, but we would help out the gospel, right? Gospel needs a little help. So here's a few things you need to do. Well, here's Paul, the apostle, the man. He's been to every seminar. He's got every verse memorized, got the entire law memorized. He's been to every church service, every prayer meeting, read every book, and he's still standing here saying, hey, I don't know what I'm doing. What scripture or what point or what book are you going to give Paul? Hey, Paul, I read this new book. He's sitting here in a moment, and yet we get back to the simplicity of the gospel saying this book is not a revelation of principles. 66 books written by about 40 authors over a 1,200 period of time is not revealing a fresh set of things to do, but revealing Jesus. Amen. So, we get back to Jesus. And we preach Jesus, we're preaching grace, and we're preaching grace, we're preaching Jesus, and we really can't preach too much grace or too much love because that is Jesus. And yet we have Paul saying, man, I don't know, I can't. Here's Paul saying, I can't. Here is Paul saying, I cannot. I can't. And here's Jesus saying, I died for you when you couldn't. You can't. I died for you when you were at your worst condition, proving it's not something you can do anyways. Paul's saying, I can't. Jesus is saying, you couldn't. I died for you when you couldn't. I can. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, but I can't. I can't seem to deal with this lust. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, but because what happens is if they're not the Apostle Paul, we'll again put the power in some sort of book or seminar or some kind of teaching and say, oh, you deal with lust and you got some perversion and hey, here's how we'll fix you. Here's how we'll, and we'll again put the power in the principle. When he came to fulfill the principle, he came to be the point and the starting point and the middle point and the end point of it all. And somehow we don't again point to the simplicity of the cross, the simplicity of Jesus and saying, hey, he's your Savior. And at the end, the Apostle Paul is saying, I can't. Jesus is saying exactly, it's not about what you can or can't do. It's about what I can do. It's not about what you can earn. It's about what I can give you. It's not about you trying. It's about you trusting. It's not about what you can do. It's about what I can do in you, what I can do through you. This is a revelation of my own love. This is a revelation of my mercy and my justice and my truth, who I am. This is a revelation of me. And Paul's saying, I can't. And God's saying, exactly. But I can't. I can't seem to get over this insecurity. Exactly. You know, I can't seem to actually forgive my dad. I can't seem to forgive my mom. Yep. Exactly. You know, I can't seem to actually get this whole message about love. Exactly. You know, I can't wrap my brain around these verses. As much as I put that podcast on repeat, it doesn't seem to be getting in. Exactly. He died for you when you couldn't, proving that you can't. It's not something that you can or can't do. It is a revelation that you can do nothing, but you can do anything through Christ. You can do all things through Christ, through Christ, through Christ, through Christ. It's Christ, Christ only. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yeah, but man, I can't seem to, I've grew up in church and my youth pastor's yelling and screaming at me about how beautiful and wonderfully I'm made and whatever, whatever. My nose is perfect and my earlobes are perfect. And, you know, every time I stare in that mirror, I just see ugly, you know, and I can't. I don't, what seminar, what thing can I do? What can I don't feel like I can. Exactly. You know, worship, I don't even get it. I try to get in, I try to let go, and I can't. Now we're getting somewhere. Exactly. Man, I can't seem to get past fear. I cannot seem to deal with the fear in my life. Exactly. That's it. I can't seem to love my wife or my husband. I can't seem to love my friends. I can't seem to make friends. I can't seem to get over this thing, this issue, this idea, this thought, this concept. I can't do it. Exactly. That's the gospel. He hung on that cross because we couldn't. Upholding truth, upholding righteousness, upholding the law, and at the same time, I forgive you. Defeating death and giving life at the same time. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe necessarily in balance, but I believe in Jesus. I love principles, I love truth, but they are in Christ. I love the Bible, but the verses in the scriptures only become alive through Jesus. Or it's just a religious act, it's just a thing to do. So Paul, the Apostle Paul, if anybody could do it, he could. And he's sitting here saying, I can't, I can't. Christ is saying, I know, exactly, but I can. And something shifts in your faith. And this whole Jesus talk, this whole everything's about Jesus, lights kind of come on and you're sitting there in a moment. And without even knowing it, you've been striving and trying and doing and working. And all of a sudden, you come at this moment and you say, man, I just want to be happy. I can't even be happy. And Jesus is saying, exactly. I can't even get excited about the future. Exactly. I can't seem to love. Exactly. I can't seem to forgive and let go. I can't seem to even be excited about being me. I can't seem to figure it out. Jesus is saying, exactly, because you can only do anything through me. So you have this moment where it's Jesus. You have this moment where even playing the game or going through the routine sort of at a moment becomes futile. And it gets centered around Jesus and you just, wow, this isn't just a prayer or something that I do here and there. It actually becomes all about Jesus. I mean, when I have a problem, I come to the end of anything, it becomes about Jesus. Exactly. Even right now, that thing. Oftentimes we get so distracted in trying and doing, we forget he's right there pursuing, relentlessly trying to love and trying to fill and trying to impart who he is. We're so busy doing stuff. You know, this morning, you can, but he can. This morning, he came to prove that in your worst condition, he loved you. Proving you can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. And this morning, wherever you're at, man, just if you've never given your life to Jesus, just give him your life. Me, Carrie, and Leah were talking the other day, and we were just talking about, man, you know, when you meet Jesus, it's not just necessarily about a prayer or an altar call. There's a moment where you have identified with his death, and you remember when you died. You remember when you stopped trying and doing and living your own life, and you were identified and crucified on the cross with him. You just remember when you just let go. You just let go. This morning, whatever it is, man, I hate some of these phrases we use in church. Just give it to Jesus. Just lay it at his feet. But in faith, he is there. Know that Christ is all over you, all around you, all behind you, all in front of you. He's all for you, trying to reveal something about himself. Put your eyes on Jesus, put your heart on Jesus, put your faith, because in a moment in his presence, truth is revealed, love is revealed, mercy is revealed, hope is revealed, grace is revealed, principles make sense, things start to align, because in his presence is the fulfillment of joy. All things are in him, and he's made all things new. You wake up and you realize that's why I can't be the same. When you start to find out, you start to know Jesus, you start to be in his presence, you start to encounter who he is, it'll leave you never the same again. And that's why I Am Jesus is all about. I can't walk by people any longer and just say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. You have to start to love them like Jesus. You have to actually, but it's not something that you do. It's not WWJD. It's not some bumper sticker. It's not, well, I'm just going to live a lifestyle of love now. I'm just going to be an evangelist. I'm just going to do something about it. It's not that at all. When you've encountered Jesus, when you've encountered grace, when you've encountered love, you're different. It changes you. You're moved by compassion. It's not a strategy, people. I'm a pay it forward. Cool. It's not the church of Oprah, and we should do something good, and that's cool. I love Oprah. But Jesus, I mean, when you encounter Jesus, I'll look back at my life, things that have changed in me, and I'd say, yeah, it's because I went on a missions trip. Yeah, it's because I did this, or yeah, I did that. You know what, man? I'd be lying to you. It's because of a moment in his presence. It's because of a moment at a camp. It's at a moment in my bedroom. And yeah, there's some things that will lead you and guide you to that. But it is a moment in the presence of Jesus Christ that'll leave you never the same. And so when you get that kind of revelation, it starts to move you towards people, because he said, hey, I'm going to my Father, but I'm leaving you in my place. I'm leaving you in my place. And so that's why we're starting to discover and realize that there's some things that we don't need to pray about. I'm going to really pray about that person, you know? Well, that's good. But, you know, Jesus, he just kind of did something. Couldn't help it. You notice Jesus didn't pray about, you know, healing that person or touching that person or having dinner with that person. It says he was moved by compassion, because his relentless love just would reach out and need to enter and come into that person's life. And he just had to. And it had nothing to do with that person's condition or what they could reciprocate or what they could give back. It was a full demonstration. And even better when they can't and they're at their worst, because it proves this is not a negotiation. This isn't something you can do for me. Actually, you can do nothing to earn it. You can do nothing to achieve it. Even your righteousness is like filthy rags, but it's the unmerited free gift of grace. And they demonstrate that, they understand that, they encounter that through love. And Jesus said, oh, you think if a church or a generation just decides to get radical about love, it's going to enable people in their sin? I'll prove to you, I died for you at your worst. I died for you when you were at the peak of your sin. Christ's love does not enable it. It delivers, it heals, brings life, and it brings truth. Died for you when you were a sinner. Let's stand this morning. We'll sing this song. Man, just encounter, just realize that he just wants to encounter you this morning. You know, that's the good news. You know, it's not faith preaching, it's good news preaching. You mean right now, God wants to heal me of something or touch me or deliver me of something? Yeah. But I'm trying to wrap my brain around this theological point. Great. Just do it later. Right now, wrap your brain around Jesus. Just wrap your brain around being in his presence and just letting him fill you with his love, letting him fill you with his grace, and letting him fill you with his forgiveness. He is the way. The way. A little less strategy in your head this morning. It's a revelation like Paul to realize, hey, I can't do this. I can't. I actually can't. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because you know what? If we could, and this church explodes to 5,000 people, we write books, and people come in here and say, hey, what did you do to live such a good life? Hey, what did you do to clean yourself up? Hey, what did you do to change? Oh, it's right here in my book. Here you go. I'm not against books. You kidding me? I love books. I love seminars. I love principles. But the power is in Jesus. But the power is in Jesus. He came to fulfill the principle. The power is in Jesus. The principle just explains it every once in a while. The principle just leads and guides. The principle brings clarity. But the power is in Jesus. That's good news, because whatever I'm going through, whatever you're going through, there is hope in Jesus this morning. Whatever I'm trying to figure out, whatever I'm trying to work through, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That strength comes from Jesus. That strength comes from Christ. Let's encounter Christ this morning. Let's sing this morning. Let's encounter Christ. Jesus.